Yud Beis Elul, Thursday the 23rd of August, Rabbi Gershon Gunner, Halacha or Superstition, the fourth and final gripping episode.
I hope I don't prove you wrong.
No, it seems to be written down.
Good morning, everyone. The good news or bad news is that this is the last shit. Okay. Till next week. So today I want to discuss a few things. I want to discuss food under the bed, discuss cutting down of fruit trees, mixing of meat and fish, and the mixing of fish and milk. You see, some people don't like that. We'll get involved. Gemara Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Beis says, Oichlin Umashkin Tachas Hamita. Food or drink which is left under the bed, afilu mechupin bekli, even if it's covered by a metal kli.
You mean covered in a tin underneath the bed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Ruach ra settles on it, and therefore it should not be eaten. This is not just the Gemara, this is also Paskan Lahalacha in the Mechaba in Yerodea Simon Kufte Zvav Sifhei, which is where he talks about all these in Yoni Sakona. And therefore, food beyond the bed, right now, it's also to eat, you can't eat it. Now we'll try and, as usual, try and make some heterium that maybe we can eat from. Now, b'diavad, there is a Shavus Yaakov and a Rekiv Eger who say you can be mekel. If it happened, l'chatchila you should try and be careful, like the Gemara Psachim, but b'diavad, if it happened, you're allowed to eat it. So a lot of places can just go with this blanket, and therefore, whenever you call them up, I left my biscuit under my bed, I snuck it away from my wife for supper, and I hid it there and forgot about it. Yep, b'diavad, Shavus Yaakov, okay, you're allowed to be mekel. However, the Bnei Yosef, the Vilna Goyen, I don't know exactly. The spirit of impurity, similar to what comes on your hands when you go to sleep. We'll see. It could be dependent on that. We'll see. The Bnei Yosef, the Goyen, the Chidor are all machmir. And from the nowadays, Rabbi the Gedolim, the Chazon Ish was very machmir, as was Shem Zalman. If someone called them up, we left food under the bed. Let's say, okay, you have to throw it out. You can't eat it. Now we'll see in what case. Someone once asked for Aaron Leib Steinman, he went into him and said, I left some nice food under my bed, caviar under the bed, what do I do? He said, oh, no, Rekviega, you can eat it. He said, I don't understand. But the Vilna Goyen says, you can't eat it. How can you? He said, when you become the Vilna Goyen, come back to me, I'm happy to discuss it. Okay. And the Pashas writes, also is, Gemara says, because a Ruach Ruach comes in it. They say, it's just like when a dead person has a Ruach Ruach, he's Matama, everything in the house. So too, sleeping is the 60th of being dead, and therefore, when one sleeps, the Ruach Ruach, similar to that of a dead person, comes, and therefore that Ruach Ruach messes up the food and prevents you from eating.
You come under a bed if someone sleeps on it.
Oh, yeah. It's machlekes, we'll get there. You're on the ball as usual. Now, the Da'ak Yeshuva brings down a shitta, and this is one of the first serufim to be makel. Yeah, we'll try and be makel, we're not here to be machle. The Da'ak Yeshuva brings a shitta that maybe only if it's on the earth, if you're sleeping in the olden days, they didn't have the fancy parquet floor we have nowadays. They slept in a, they said that big chumash there took 20 minutes. Yeah, they swept around all the earth, there's nothing there, you're good to go. So the Akshura says, maybe only on earth is it a problem, but our nowadays floors will be mutter. However, most poskim don't use this by itself to be mekel, and therefore that by itself would not be a swirl to be mekel. Now, the Chidor brings down, and so is Paskan the Halacha by Revozna and Chacham Vadia. So we have a nice team of different types of poskim, that if you wash it three times, if you do Ntisadayim to the food, then that would be Matahirit, and therefore you're good to go. They even have a tzad, if your food's in a box, you could just wash the box. You don't even have to take the food out of the box. There's a story where the original Rebbe once had the Baichasna, all the Lekach, Baichasna, the Lekach, the Heilige Indian, and all the Lekach for the Chasna was slept on by some, I don't know who, and he passed and they should wash the box, and they're good to go. So, they compare it to what the Mishnah Berurah says in Yerachayim in Siman Dalet, that if someone touched food before they washed Negel Vasa, they should chachila wash it three times before they eat it. Because the Ruach Ruach settled on the food, they say. Similarly, it's the same Ruach Ruach that came from sleeping. Similarly, if you wash it three times, it's going to be okay. Remaya Brandorf for the Knei Boisim, someone asked him the Shaila, and he said, you should wash it three times. And the fellow said, but I'm talking about a loaf of bread. Now, if you try and wash a loaf of bread, I wouldn't recommend you eat it, or at least serve it to guests. So he said, okay, if it's a loaf of bread, then b'di'evet, you can be makel not to wash it, and just like the Egeshus Yaakov say, you can eat it, I'll let you eat it. A goy shabbat. Let's say you have a goy who sleeps on top of food. Rabbi Yashiv says it's not a problem. Just like we know, when you go to a restaurant, the goyish waiter there, and they often touch the food, and no one says, oh, we can't eat it because of ruach ra, because no goy has known yet to wash ningel vasa. Because a goy doesn't have a ruach ra. I don't know exactly the reason why, because only people on a higher standard are able to have a ruach ra. And therefore,
a non-form waiter,
yeah, is a problem. If they touch the food. If they touch the food, it's also a problem, because you don't really want them touching your food, but okay.
In the restaurant in Israel.
Correct. If non-form waiters are other problems, because a lot of hechsherim are mekel that they're Jewish, and therefore they can turn on the fire and everything, and it's not so posh, maybe it'll cost a different time, but not so posh that bishul aladei mumma is what machlokes is about. But okay. Now, even if this food is covered, the Gemara says, and that's paskin by the Beis Yosef and the Shachar and Kega, even if food is covered, it doesn't matter, still it's going to be a problem. A food that was in a suitcase, this is often the asked chayla in camps. A kid where the camp of good in my day didn't have such luxurious conditions. Everyone had to put the suitcase under the bed. So often they had all their provisions and in the suitcase. And try it. Maybe all their food becomes a problem. So on that, Ravazna used to hold that if it's in a kli, in a packet, say a packet of crisps, it's got a din of a kli b'toich kli. We find often that a kli b'toich kli is not called in the room, they grab other things, and therefore he would often be mekel kli b'toich kli. He also said that the Mogen Avraham is very dubious about the whole sakana business. He's not so sure how much sakana is nowadays. Maybe it's kadosh barav. He's not so into the whole sakana business. He says a kli b'toich kli, but still the Mogen Avraham, he would therefore allow. The Chaznish once was asked a shayla of food that was stepped on, and he said, "B'makom hefsed meruba, it's allowed." So the guy said, "It's not really hefsed meruba. No, it was a little pack of Winkies. I can't say it's hefsed meruba." He said, "You know what? Give the food to Aniyim, because for Aniyim to have the food would be a big gain for them, and for them not to have it, for them to have some rubber. And therefore you found a way of making some rubber, and that was what he recommended to do. Now there is a machlokas. There is a machlokas, like Mr. Kav said before, is it only when someone is sleeping on the bed that's a problem, or even when someone is not sleeping? I had a roommate in Yezid Yeshiva who did not allow our microwave in the room to be kept under the bed. Because he said he wants to be machmir that even if no one's sleeping, you can't put food under the bed. And every time you put food in the microwave, he don't eat the food. And therefore, since he paid an equal £4 chelik for the £16 microwave, he asked us that we should not keep it under the bed. Fair enough. Okay. The pasha supposed to be coming down. It's only under the bed the problem. If it's under your covers, on top of your mattress, it is not a problem. Now, under a child's bed. Yeah, if a child under bar mitzvah, the poskim on mekel, zecher b'dieved, perhaps the chatchila, whether you could eat it. The reason is because we know that children don't have a ruach ra mekel adin. They're not mechuyav negel after mekel adin, and therefore ruach ra doesn't come to children's beds, and therefore it's going to be allowed. Now, a very, very frequent shayla in Yisrael zecher is. I'm sure, I bet you that was really left out overnight, and that's why Hashem made it that shayla. A buggy. People go to, in Israel, no one has cars. Everyone goes shopping with the biggest buggy they can get their hands on. And they put all the food under the buggy. You have no idea how much food one lady in Israel can put under her buggy. The problem is, often they have children sleeping in the buggy. Is there a problem? So we just said there's one heter that children are no ruach ra. It's very rare to find people over mitzvah in buggies. Second heter is that we said there's a day in Darkei Teshuva that only on the offer is a problem, not stum on the ritz, but it's even better than that. It's not even on the offer at all, this is moving. Another heter coming up in a minute. A bunk bed, if you have someone sleeping on top of the top bunk and there's food on top of the bottom bunk. So again, it's not on the floor, but still under a bed where someone's sleeping. Rabbi Yashiv used to be Machmir, and the son-in-law of Chaim Hevsky used to be Mekel. This is Evan Nagir, you should ask a local rabbi. However, they all point out that no one should say they don't want to sleep on a bottom bunk because a ruach ra comes on them. That's ridiculous. And everyone, when they sleep, anyone gets a ruach ra, and therefore that's not a reason to try and snag the top bunk. The river is Ephraim. Tanur Moshe brings down that one's allowed to sleep with food in their pocket. It's only a problem if it's under the bed, not if it's under you in your pocket. First class on the aeroplane, flying first class, business class, even economy, economy is very morning gear, you don't have much room for your legs, so you want to put your food under your seat. The posting on Mekel for many reasons. Firstly, it's not a bed kavua. Pasha has to be a bed kavua. It's also not on the ground. And it's not meyuchet to sleeping. Another way out is a sofa bed. A lot of places make it. It has to be a bed that's meyuchet for sleeping. And a sofa which you be'etzem sit on. And sometimes you lie on, they also make it. Some people are makel in raw food, the raw vegetables that aren't going to be eaten like his. There are poskim who are makel. Again, I don't know exactly the hachra, because it's a big machlokes, everyone should ask the rabbi. Pills, but the eved of zecher mutter, that is, it's not called food, the rabbi, and if you had pills under your bed, you could eat them. Revolver was machmen chetchila, not to keep it under your bed. Some people are machmen chetchila, not to keep negel vasa under your bed. Now, my mom is making war against negel vasa. So let's say you already covered the negel vasa to get rid of the mayim gudim from yesterday. Still, we said before, being covered is not enough to get rid of ruach ra, and therefore the chetchila is because people say you should not use the negel vasa if it was under your bed. Chama Vadia declared an interesting shayla. What's the halacha if I sold someone a packet of crisps and I didn't tell him, but really I'd slept on this packet of crisps, and that's why I wanted to sell it, because I didn't want to eat it, and I sold it to someone else? So he says, listen, there's a big machlokes whether it's also whether it's mutter. Yeah, Kriyeg is mekel, and all the others are machme. So he says that it depends on whether you've paid the money already or not. If you've paid the money, then the guy who bought it is ready. The guy who just now acquired it is the seller is muchzik in the money. And to try and say, mekach toch, I want the money back, you're trying to be moitzi from him. And he could say, Kimli, I hold a kivega, that's mutter, and therefore, don't mekach toch, therefore, you can't get the money out of him, because he said, I hold a kivega. Moshe Enkein, if you haven't paid yet, you already agreed, you shook hands to do it, but you haven't yet paid, he said, you could say, you could back out, you could say, Kimli, like all the other poskim who are machme, and therefore, I don't want to pay you, take back your ruach ruach crisps.
Okay. Kimli, if he's not eating it because of that.
Yeah. What did he say?
He can't say Kimli if he's not eating it because of that.
Why?
Because he doesn't want to eat it
because of the guacamole. For him, it's mekach toch. Kimli is mekach toch. Kimli for me is worth £0.
The seller can't say Kimli.
The seller say Kimli, the eye hold is the mutter. So I sold you something worth 40p.
Don't you eat it?
Oh, I don't know. Again, I hear. So maybe it's some. Maybe we're talking about Moshe's who. Punk had a very tired worker that day, he slept on all the stuff, and then he wants to sell it. I hear that. Okay. Now, an interesting thing, that talking about food and Ruach Ra, what the Olam hold? Is one allowed to bring food into a bathroom? Also a motor?
No.
I could not find a source to say it's also. I want to suggest that there's no problem in bringing food into the bathroom. I have a raya from the Magen Avraham, Kusam Akvav, who he discusses about, does one make a bracha while eating the Beit HaMerchat to the bathroom? Yeah, I mean, I told all the Beit HaMerchat. I believe that if you find a raya that I'm wrong, please.
No,
eating is not a problem. You gotta make a bracha. Eating is a different problem. But bringing the food in. Yeah, bringing the food in, I want to propose, is not a problem. And the Chazan Ish was known to do malicha on his own meat. And the Chazan Ish did malicha in the bathtub, which was in his, which had a toilet next to it. The Chazan Ish was klar nisht noegazoi. He was maker, like I just said, that you're allowed to bring food into the bath. Okay, Adkan. That topic. Next, cutting down fruit trees.
Toothpaste
is not food. You could partially just eat Trefer toothpaste. I'd like to propose that Trefer toothpaste is not a problem. It's pogum, and therefore maybe children not, because they might swallow it. The mice, but if you know you won't swallow it, you could use Trefer toothpaste because it's not called a food. Cutting down fruit trees. The source of this issa is not in the Mechaba, and it's not Huda Chosid, but it's Hashem. It's a posuk in Parshas Devarim. Says Hashem in Parshas Shoftim, Kitzotzor el ir, when you come and besiege a city, Yomim Rabim, Lelochim Alea, to fight against it, Lotovsa, to seize it. Loi Sashchis es Eitza, Lindoyach Olov Garzin. You should not destroy the trees by swinging an axe against them. Ki Mimenu Soichel, because from it you're going to eat. Says next Pasuk, Quack, Eit Ashateda, Ki Loi Eitz Machel. If you have a tree that's not a fruit tree, who owes the Tashkut? That you're allowed to cut down. A posuk, you're not allowed to cut down fruit trees. The Mom of Kamal brings down, Daf Tzadi Aleph on the base, Omer Chanina, Loi Shchiv Shivchis Bri, my son only died, Shivchis, my son was only died, because the cuts tainus of Beloi, I cut down a fruit tree, Beloi's mom, I cut down a fruit tree when I shouldn't have. The Gemara Makkah Daf Chabay says, Hakoitzitz Ilonois Toivus Loike, someone cut down a fruit tree should get Malkus. And this is Paskin in the Rosh, in the Aruch Shulchan, in the Chai Adam, in the Shulchan Harav, as we don't cut down fruit trees. Now, we can't have a shir without mentioning Rehuda Chosid. Rehuda Chosid, in his Tzavar, Tzavar Mem He, says, Ilon ha'oisa peiros ein liktois oisai. One shouldn't cut down fruit trees. And all the achronim go to town. I don't understand. This tzavar is not supposed to be a sefer ha-mitzvahs, and it's brought down as a pasuk. Since when did the chassid say tzavar ayin ches kabbis avich v'simecha? We never found such a thing. Why suddenly now it's bringing that? And that's what they all ask. And they want to propose, and we'll see that this shita is held by achronim halacha l'maisa, that Rav Chassid says, even in a case when technically it's mutter to cut down a fruit tree, we'll find that soon there are cases where it is mutter, he was warning his eniklus, everyone, that they still should abstain from doing so because it's not a good thing to do, and therefore, even so, when it would be mutter technically, you should be machbe if you want to keep your savar and not ever cut down a fruit tree. Apart from the issa of Al-Tashris, the Gemara Pesachim Daf Nun Amud Beis says, Hakoytet Ilonis Toivus, Einim Royim Simon Bracha La'olam. We'll never see a similar bracha for cutting down fruit trees. A friend of mine just told me he had a fruit tree in his garden, and he called up a Jewish gardener and said, do you mind taking it down for me? And he said, I'm really sorry. I did this once a few years ago, and that year I lost a grandchild, and never again am I going to cut down fruit trees. It's a very, very humble thing, cutting down fruit trees. Now, some of the Rabbi Roberts was once sitting in his house, and my friend, Rafael Goldberg, was walking past, and Rabbi Roberts opened the door and said, do you mind to come inside? Came inside, there was another guy sitting there, three of them. He said, I'm about to paskin a heta to cut down a fruit tree. I have a Kabbalah, I'm only paskin it with a bezdin of three people. It's a Chomo Shaila, it's a Inonis Hakona, so please will you join our bezdin? Because we'll see there are cases that is mutter, but after we came, you wanted the bezdin to be matter the Shaila. Boom, someone called me up last night, they saw my sign. He got olive tree in his garden, that's a problem, and he wants to cut it down. Can I come over and see whether it's allowed? And I said, I really prefer you go to a bigger rabbi because I don't want to get involved in this. Okay. Let's start with the heterion. The Rambam in Melachim page Vav Lachah says, if it's mazik other trees, it's already allowed. And the story is, because the whole problem is Baal Tashchis, it's not called Baal Tashchis if you're gaining out of cutting it down.
Are the fruit trees or other trees?
I'm not sure. I think it's other lonois, but I'm not sure. I'll look it up, it's a good question. The tav brings down from the rosh. This is a big sforot we make. If you use this blindly, you're ready, your mamish come out sorted. The Rosh held, Im tzorach hamokoim livnoi shom, it's mutter. If you need the space, it's already mutter. Like I said. Now on that, Achoyin Machoyin B'Yakov brings down to be choyle, to be machme. Now, even if it's mutter, the Yaivet says, B'Yakov Endon says, that there's still a sakon. Even if it's mutter, this is like the pshat we said in the Ibn Chosu Savar, even if it's mutter, you still should try to abstain from doing so. The Tur Tamvadar says, this is also, if you go like this, will be another big heta for you. Tur Tamvadar says, are they a nochri, it's mutter. If you get a goy to cut it down, it's allowed, because ein shlichas to nochri. No, they're not my shliach. And in the Zayim, this will be annoying. No one said, don't cut down fruit trees. Yeah, it says, get a roi shichdomi, my red zara, doesn't say fruit trees. And therefore, I tell him, my worker to cut it down, and he goes to go. That's what he held. If that would be so, it would be amazing, we have no problems. However, all achronim go to town, they don't understand. Firstly, we paskin, ye shlichas la'akum l'chumra. I.e., we're always stringent for the tzad that there is shlichus lakum. Therefore, it says, why is a mule akum also on Shabbos? Rashi and Zohar said in two places, because the goy becomes our shliach. Forget one of the tzad, he says that every aveira in the whole world is also to tell a goy to do, because there's a mule akum on everything, not just on Shabbos. And he says that I can't tell a goy to plow with a client, I can't make an ox and a thing plow together because it's a mule akum. Therefore, they say that that's not a good macheta. Just do it from a goy, because you do find often an amir lakum by others. Another question on this shitta is that the Rambam says you shouldn't even divert a stream that was making this fruit tree grow if by doing so you'll cause the fruit tree to dry up and fall away. So it's clear that just if in the long run you cause the fruit tree to disappear, it's a problem. So telling a goy is no worse than diverting the stream. The Beis Shlomo is mekel. Now this is maybe, you could argue, a bit of a haram, a bit of a trick. He says, you're allowed to sell this parcel of land to the goy, and tell the goy, here, buy it up for fiver, and do with it what you want. And then the goy will cut it down, and then it has nothing to do with you at all. It wasn't you didn't tell him to do it. You can't stop going, do what they want, and therefore that would be a het. The Yaivetz is Mekel, this is what most people know, if you have to cut down a fruit tree. He says that you have to replant it. If you replant it, the Yaivetz is Mekel in Gansen, if you ever want to cut that fruit tree, just replant it with the root somewhere else, and it's mutter. Chum Sofer said, no, I don't like that enough. The Chassid says, when I have a heta other day something else, because I need the place, or see soon, because I want to build a mikvah, whatever the reason is, then the only way that's mutter is if you replant it. Now apparently in the most recent J-Trade, they had all the young companies of people There'll accompany there from Stamford Hill of people who offer the service of cutting up fruit trees, replanting it elsewhere to get rid of this problem. Me come please. Okay.
But,
now,
could you say also to plant a, rather than replant a new fruit tree somewhere?
No, no, that's not that. You're destroying this. It's Baltachlis, you can't do so. You can't like tick the box, I build in some kibbutz, two fruit trees, therefore I can do what I want in my back garden. No, 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 no. That. A fruit tree that does not bear fruit now, but it's going to bear fruit in the future, is also awesome. If a fruit tree is already dead, that hasn't produced fruit for a bit of time, then there's no baltashta, because it's just a worthless fruit tree, and that you could cut. The tzorich mitzvah, they are mekel. The achronim are all mekel tzorich mitzvah. The panoyachas is mekel to cut a fruit tree to build a mizbeach. Amid Shem, Meheribon HaMikdosh, he said that it's a bigger mitzvah, it overrides the problem. Also to build a sukkah. He said, if you want to cut a fruit tree, build a sukkah. There's a Rashi in Makas Davches, which does sound like that there's a mitzvah asay to build a sukkah. It's very interesting. The Yerushalmi has a tzadimik shechionu on it even. It could be it's a mitzvah to build a sukkah. Now that would be a big enough mitzvah to override it. To build a shul, lachronim ha-mekel. The Dirichayim is mekel. Oh, I got him in this time. To build a mikveh. If it's overhanging over a sukkah, the lachronim ha-mekel, they're allowed to cut away what's overhanging over your sukkah. Pruning. Our shulchan is mekel if it blocks light to do pruning. If it's blocking the light, he says, he discusses whether you could move it entirely away because it has no light. He says, zikha to cut it shorter and make it less, it won't damage the tree, just make a few branches less. That's zikha mutter. Okay.
If it's dangerous in Gunson to do it, then.
No, it's al baltashkit. You so did baltashkit. So once you have things that halachically override the use of the tree, it's not called baltashkit.
It says
Lois Hashkis. This is a quote of it's a Baltashkis from this Pasuk. It's Al Baltashkis. Yeah. The Pasuk says Lois Hashkis. Now, Rabbi Achosid, Baruch Shem, we got him again, in Savar Mem Dalet says, Kol Ilon Sha'oisa Peris Base Pa'omim Beshona Yesh Lokot. If you have a tree which is super productive and it has twice a year produces a full fruit, you should cut it down. And they will ask, what are you talking about? It's also a traditional thing. How can you cut down a fruit tree just because it's a bit funny and a bit overproductive? It should be also. And they want to say that, though, he says it's a scary, dangerous sakona fruit tree. Therefore, he recommends you replant it, like the Ivet says. So if I say, cut it down, move it elsewhere, replant it. Hopefully then it will normalize its production, and then it'll be good. Rabbi Yashiv says it's also to cut down, even to replant a tree in its place. So you can't ever cut down a fruit tree. However, the Persians say, if you have a fruit tree which causes hay fever to your neighbours, and they're complaining that it's not, I can't do so, then you're allowed to cut it down. Rivazos mekel in a base of kvoros, if you have a fruit tree and the roots are going under the kvorum, and therefore it's causing bizoyan to dead people, it's also enough of a reason to cut it down. And mutter. Now again, no one should pass me anything from this shit. If ever again anyone, I ask you to ask a rabbi. Now let's quickly try and discuss fish and meat. Carving down also to eat fish and meat together because it gives you tsaras. It's from a Gemara, it gives you tsaras. I don't know what tsaras means nowadays. It's a sakana to eat. Now, we always know, chamirta sakanta me'isur. It's always more chomor, more dangerous than it's. Allah is by boss of cholov. If I'm eating cholent, my wife's eating pizza by the same table, the Allah is you need a hecker. You need to put something on the table to remind you, hey, don't taste from the pizza because you're eating fleshix. After achronim, if chamirta sakanta me'isur, therefore, when I'm eating fish and she's eating meat, I should make a hekka because it's more chomer. And if a kal v'choyim, I should need to have a hekka. The achronim, no. Because it's more chomer, there's no tzadu to come eat from it. It's not the bosu chalos, only issa. I might forget. But I'm sitting here with a pacha, the mogul, maybe I might end up with tsaras. So I'm never going to come eat from it, and therefore, there's no need for a hekka.
You got
tsaras already? Mm. You want more tsaras, I'm sure. There's many gears to wash out your mouth. And to eat something in between when you fish and meat. That's where when you get to come l'chaim, and some see them put challah in the l'chaim. That's three l'chaim, two for the price of one. They're eating something and they're drinking something. However, there's a fascinating toisvus, which brought down by Rabbi Kiva Eger. You should not drink water after, not between fish and meat, and not even after fish. Toisvus says drinking water after fish is a sakana. I don't know. Toisvus is my cotton, I think it's off your base. And Rabbi Kiva Eger brings down la'alocha. And therefore, that's why we have l'chaim and not any drink, is because of that. The hachila, we don't put it in the same oven, fish and meat together. Had let's say it travels Friday afternoon and you're running out of time and you want to roast your chicken and put salmon at the same time. If one of them is covered, it is okay. There's no problem of zeya, which is steam, and no problem of recha, which is some of the smell. And if one of them is covered, it is okay. If they're both open, then it could be osabidi evet. Especially if one of them has liquid in it, then it's much more chomer in the oven. Ever happens, you should ask a local rabbi. It could be a problem even with the evet. Even if you cook challah with meat in the same oven, and the meat was uncovered and had a sauce, I would venture to suggest that it would be osur to eat the challah with fish because the steam of the meat would permeate the challah and be osur. Again, everyone should ask, I'm going to make a face at me, I'm really sorry. But if it's, then again, you ask a local rabbi, that's what I learned sugya last night, but at length, that's how I came at
it. You wouldn't be allowed to eat challah at all.
Correct. It could be the challah osur again, because it's in design here there, that you can't make meaty challah at all. The halacha is you can't make. Now this is a big chiddush. I do apologize if anyone gets upset with me. But the halacha is, if you have challah that was used by the table, you're not allowed to afterwards eat it with milk. If it's used by the meaty table, unless you had half a challah put away, Moshe Feinstein says. But if you have slices of challah on the table, it's osur for you to. No, eating on the keli is not good enough. It has to be separate, that you're not using it for this meal. If you had in mind, there's kids, there's food flying around. Nafka mina. There's a minig in Klal Yisrael, which source probably comes from 1100 somewhere, to make French toast with leftover challah. I want to suggest that if the challah was cut up in slices on the Shabbos table, it would be osur to make with it milky French toast because of this problem of yuchayesh, there was meat there and there you can't. Now, however, I didn't see this said that similarly by fish. So I don't know why not, because you could argue chametz comes from Mesur. I didn't see emor machmei by fish that you can't use this for fish afterwards.
Yeah,
on a Friday night meal, when there's kids are having chicken fights with each other, then you shouldn't. Yeah, I don't think it's my chiddush. I think it's pretty poshut. However, with kalim, we're not machne. By boss of the cholov, you cannot cook milk in a meaty kali because the tam from the meat in the kli, and then that taste imparts into the thing. Mashen kain, we are makel by fish and meat. You're allowed to make gefilte fish in a meaty pot. Even though there is a shita, the Kol brings it down to Machme, and the Chayadon brings it la'alocha, the 2 days. Some people I know have fish pots, and I'm not sure why, it could be because it's much more fancy and it's much more long, but it could be because of this. I also want to suggest that people have fish knives. Even a very fancy have a fish knife. So everyone thinks because they want to be fancy, it's not true. The reason is because they're scared there might be meat on the knife. Chazal will always find on a knife, they're scared there's shamnunis, there's bits of meat on, and therefore fish and meat together is dangerous stuff, and therefore you shouldn't do so. If you do cook fish and meat in the same pot, the keli becomes osur, we paskin. Well, I'll end with one quick story. My friend...
About milking.
I know, I'm running out of time. Maybe I have to be next series. The highlight is it's mutter mekadin. The only other Sfaradim are machmir, no one else is machmir. And they put a star on the menus because for Sfaradim. But most people are mekel and really mistaken the gerist of his yeser. One story. My friend called the gates at Rav with a shayla that they put knedlich in the soup and Erev Shabbos and Arab for Shabbos. And they put in 1, 2, 3, 4, and then they put in fish balls. They took it out of the freezer and it's fish balls. So they've taken out the fish balls. They want to know what's halach. The Gates Rav says, wow, that's a good shayla. I need 15 minutes to look it up. Now, again, I would have really got suspicious then, because if you know the Gates Rav, you never need 15 minutes to look anything up. 10 minutes later, there was a knock on the door. The son of the Gates Rav with a big pot of soup. He held it with osur, didn't make them upset, and therefore he sent them his own soup.
Shkurt everyone for this.
What did you say?
It took him 15 minutes to make the soup.
Shkurt everyone for listening. Thank you.